And then also then to get into the process that you've been going through for sort of finding improper registrations and challenging them, we know that from what we've read, in addition to the jury rolls and just looking at the voter rolls, you also sort of went door to door as well in some places, and that just seems sort of really interesting. So we wanted to hear about what was that like? Like, did you meet anyone who you found was improperly registered on these things, and what were your interactions with them like? Like, just so can you talk a little bit about that process?
Certainly. It was an epiphany to go
Yeah.
out and meet these people. There was a 70-year-old man who and lives in Buncombe County in Asheville,
Yeah, in Asheville.
and he loved knocking on doors and doing this. And what we were doing was we realized that to really get these people off the roll, what we're looking for is people who no longer live where they're voting from. That's poor grammar, but if they don't live there, they shouldn't be voting there because they're affecting local elections. And it's like a drop in the bucket, and we knew that, but we wanted to demonstrate the extent of the problem. It's a lot bigger than we were able to demonstrate. What we were doing, we would find these people that were on the rolls, and True the Votes method was get them off the roll, report them to the election officials and get them off the roll. They didn't know North Carolina law. There's only one way to get them off the roll, and that's to file a challenge. And I'm never going to ask anyone to file a challenge unless I'm convinced they have enough evidence that
To
it's
do that,
legit. And I talked one guy into withdrawing a challenge once because of that. He just, I know they're not there. I said, you better do more than that. You're not going to walk into a hearing and tell them you know this. You're going to bring some proof, or you need to, or you don't ever mention my name again. And he heard it and fixed it. But what we were doing was just, we'd go up if we had five or six people at a residence, we'd go knock on the door and say, are you so-and-so? No. Well, I'm with Voter Integrity Project, and we are checking to see, did you know that five people are registered to vote at this house? And that's a conversation starter. And most of the time, people are like, what? Let me see that. And they, oh, yeah, that's my son. Yeah, he moved away 20 years ago. That's my, whatever. And they'd go through it, and they'd help us, and they'd fill out the form, and then we use that as our evidence. Because North Carolina law says prima facie evidence is a letter returned from the post office. But we decided it's time-consuming, and it depends on the post office doing their job. There's too many moving parts. Let's just talk to the person who lives there and get their word, get them to attest to that on a piece of paper, and we'll take that to the hearing. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't, because each county has their own little political agenda, and sometimes they go, well, you got to mail a letter. I said, no, we don't. We don't have to. The law says if we do, that's perfect, but this is a homeowner from that address. And so it's been interesting, because in one county, the very same county, one time we had a guy walk in there and said, he was a guy that we had showed him the data, and we said, I want to do this myself. He went to the hearing, and he said, yeah, I live in that house, and those people don't. I want them off the roll. And they said, okay. And they voted, okay. Another time that happened, and they said, no, you got to mail a letter. And so they didn't even remember their own precedent they'd set. And so it's just a real fuzzy area of law that the whole intent of the law is for, it's designed that the people who are governed can control who's on that list. And the age-old technique is called canvassing. And it's perfectly, as a poli-sci major, you would know that, well, okay, not you, but your partner in crime here would know that it's just the way it is. And they always advocate canvassing, and there's nothing wrong with that. And so what we're doing is canvassing to see who actually lives there and who doesn't. And why Buncombe? Because people in Buncombe wanted to do it. So it's something that we encourage people to do it, but it's a locally derived, and then we mentor them and coach them on how to do it.
And so you say that most of the people who you met were sort of supportive and people were interested to know about this stuff.
A couple of them weren't. You
Yeah,
got a couple of
do you
doors
meet
slammed in the
anyone
face.
who was
I didn't. Bill did. I couldn't believe it. Who would slam the door in the face of a 70-year-old man? He's the sweetest man you ever knew. It was just like, are you kidding? But some did. We made a mistake too on a couple of them, because Bill, at the time, we just thought, just go ahead and challenge him anyway, Bill. Let's see what happens. And that was not a good move, and we learned. We're not going to do that again. I met one that was really cool, though. It was a lady. It was in Henderson, no, yeah, Hendersonville, North Carolina. She was, excuse me, she's probably deceased now, and she had oxygen and the sign on the front porch saying no smoking. And they had eight people registered at her house, and her daughter said that it was her brothers and sisters. And it was a little teeny, it was a black lady, and it was a little teeny house that she said, you know, they don't live here now, but we all did, mm-hmm. and we all use this address. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, culturally, I never realized that this is home, mm-hmm. and they all vote from home. It's illegal, yeah. but I'm not going to challenge it. I just thought, you know what, I see what you're saying. Okay. And so we didn't challenge that. And mm-hmm. And it really has changed the way we do it. You know, when I see this kind of thing going on, we want to be gentle, and, you know, we don't want to be the bullies that walk in and say, yeah, get those kids off. But technically it is wrong. And you know, we'd like to see them, you know, fix that. And I explained to them that they really should be voting wherever they live. She goes, well, they come here and sleep here once or twice a week. I'm not going to argue with that because mm-hmm. their mother's dying. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, really, once you've grown up, where you live under North Carolina law is where you're supposed to vote. And that's the only way you can have really ethical elections
yeah.
is for people to vote from where they actually yeah. have a dog in the fight, yeah. so to speak.
And so in the cases where, you know, people were, you know, unhappy or upset, that was just sort of, they just sort of slammed the door in your face. There weren't you didn't have any sort of extended conversations with those people for the most
no.
part.
No, no, we never had that. We had, no, people were, generally, they were amazed.
Yeah.
And they were impressed, and they were very supportive. And
yeah.
We had a lady in Craven County that she built an organization doing that. She's a big Republican, so it's like,
yeah.
I only help her so much because we're nonpartisan, and it's yeah. like she's more concerned with getting people to work in the Republican Party. And it's
right.
like, you know, yeah, okay. But she told me that she was using our information.
Yeah.
And it's freely available and using our methodology, and people are going, I love what you're doing. Can I join you? And so she built an organization doing that. And mm-hmm. I thought, well, that's okay. That's cool. I wish we could build an organization doing that
yeah.
because we're more, what I'd love to see is more people observing elections mm-hmm. and going in and working as employees in the elections who've been trained by us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the state gives great training, but the fraud component is something that we have focused on. And I know we're getting way ahead, but these are people who are the people we talk to in other states. Have run their own organizations, and they are looking at various aspects of this too from a fraud mitigation perspective.
Yeah.
And that's something that election officials, they have a hard enough time just administering, getting it right,
mm-hmm.
not to sit there and look at people and go, you're committing fraud. You know, they don't have time for that, and we don't want them to do that.
Yeah.
But somebody needs to be just stepping back and watching.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to have people in that position who are just
yeah.
watching and just saying, okay, that's not right. And our friends in California did that to the point of creating actionable evidence that stood up in front of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission,
mm-hmm.
that they just documented disenfranchisement by way of vote fraud, and it was being done by the people administering the election in California. Just,
mm-hmm.
Thank God we're not there in North Carolina, but it was still, it was an eye-opener. And the documents they use are now the standard that we advocate all across the country
mm-hmm.
for any state that wants to